But seems like we're picking up all right.
All right, cool.
Picking up everybody with the sound. And hey, look at that. I'm super far away and I'm still...
Yeah.
My voice on this thing. Usually when we record, the mic is like right here next to Brian.
Okay.
And I'm like this.
Oh, since you guys come in at different volumes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, generally speaking.
Yeah, I'm kind of a loud one.
Yeah.
It works for us. That's why he's the tech guy.
Yeah. We'll see. It'll be fun to the echo is going to be interesting, but I think they have some built-in.
I'm going to say, yours has some stuff to take that echo out.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And if not, it'll be a very cavernous podcast. We're recording this in the middle of, you know, a cave-in.
In the Michigan dungeon.
The Michigan dungeon. I just happen to have my laptop and a microphone with us.
Yeah.
Along with our guest today. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry, I didn't know we were going already.
Oh, very so that's awesome. So, okay. By the way, is Brian and Rick from Deads on the Podcast, and we're here interviewing...
Oh, my name is Jeff Campbell Crawley. I'm with the Michigan GT. This grand tournament, in case you guys don't know GT.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop...
So this is going to actually be the second year for any kind of Mantic present there.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So we did Kings of War at the last one.
Yes.
In just a short, small, because we had enough time for one day and that was all.
Right.
That was it.
Right.
So this year, though, there's a whole bunch of Mantic going to be there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We have Dead Zone. We have Dreadball. We have a two-day Kings of War.
Two-day. That's a big event.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge event for us.
It's a big boy event.
Yeah.
So how long has the Michigan GT been going?
All right, well, I was asked this in the previous podcast, and I screwed it up. So, I got it right now. So, this is technically the 8th Michigan GT.
Okay.
Excellent.
It would be the 9th if it wasn't for last year.
Sure.
Right.
So, we started in 2013. Okay. Was our first year. And the first year, it was a Warhammer 40,000 only event because that's what we were all into.
Sure.
You know, we were like, oh, you know, we need a real tournament around here instead of all these one-dayers, you know.
Yeah.
And so we, it was me and four other guys, and we just kind of pooled our resources. We found a venue. Everyone chipped in to make the terrain and all that stuff. We busted our ass for like 4 or 5 months. We put it together, and we had 50 guys in the first year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, so we were pretty soaked. 50-person event.
That's
you know,
good.
Yeah, from the get-go. And then the next year, I think it was next year only 40K again.
In, sure.
I think we jumped up to like 64. It was just a small growth.
Sure.
And then
But it's still a little bit of growth.
Significant number,
right.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so we were stoked about that. And then the next year we had somebody approach us about wanting to join forces with us because they ran a state championship for War Machine Hordes.
Oh.
It's called the Michigan Cup.
Oh, okay.
And they were already running it on their own, and they're like, well, why don't we kind of make it one big event? You know, we don't have to each rent a hall out, you know, and so we're like, yeah, that sounds cool. So they did that, and then they also threw like another one day, because that was only a one day event. And then they threw another War Machine event on the other day in with that.
Yeah.
And so then we had two game systems, you know, and then we started reaching out, and every year it's just kind of boom, 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 boom. And, you know, last year, or last event, I don't want to say last year a lot, but that really means 2020.
I think that's everybody, though.
We're just kind of pretending like 2020 didn't exist.
Didn't exist, yeah.
Right, so, yeah, so last event, I think we had, it was over 400 paid attendees. You guys were there, you saw.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we always like to count people who walk through the door as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, one of the awesome things about the GT is that if you're a spectator, you can just come in and look around and watch. And you don't have to buy a ticket or anything to get in.
Yeah, yeah.
And we really like to offer that to people so they can come in and shop our vendors.
Sure.
And give our vendors an opportunity to generate even more sales than just through the people who are there playing at the event.
Yeah.
So I think we're around between 450 and 500 individuals walk through the door last year, which is pretty awesome.
And that's a great thing, too, to like for those people that are just kind of you know, stopping in to check things out. They can see what these games are like in play. They can see how the community is around them and see kind of that positive growth, because it's been a great event the one time we went there.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you guys thought
so. I could not believe. So obviously we showed up and we played some Dead Zone and kind of, because on one of the tables there was nothing going on.
Right. Sure.
Open opportunity. Because we had the Kings of War event on Sunday, so it was just check out and help you guys set up and everything.
Sure.
But like the whole setup, the amount of people. So I've always kind of been steered clear of 40K because of that persona.
Okay.
That 40K gets.
Right.
You guys gave me a completely different perception of it.
Well, that's awesome. I'm really glad to hear that.
Well, yeah. And how quickly you guys brought me in saying, hey, yeah, let's do semantic stuff.
We're a huge community. You know, we're a community of gamers. You know, we're not out there to try to say this is better than this and we're not going to want to include that. I mean, if you're a champion of your game system and you want to come and you want to run something at our event, come on, man. I mean, the more people we can get through the door and just share the experience of gaming, the better off everyone is. It doesn't matter what you're into, you know, let's do it. You know, we got this huge venue. Let's put people in there and have a good time.
Venue, yeah. Speaking of that venue, so this year,
right,
you guys have gone to a new venue.
Yeah.
That's huge.
We leveled up as far as
like,
the venue's concerned.
That's like leveling up from a little speedboat to Titanic.
Kind of.
That's a big thing. Now,
for sure.
Have you increased the games? Like, I was looking at this and I'm trying to figure out.
You know, like the number of games,
couples?
Maybe by a couple, but it would, by the amount that we've been able to allow into some of our more popular games, we've been able to really increase that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
is that 160 right now?
160 for 40K, right.
It's nuts.
It's nuts. Yeah, last year we were at 128. You know, that's a huge jump. You know, 32 players. For us, that's a huge jump. You know, you figure that's about 25%? Not quite that.
Not quite.
But right around 25%. Yeah. You know, and then also our Age of Sigmar event, you know, the other flagship Games Workshop game. Last year we were at 30. This year we're at 84.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's almost triple what we had last year.
That's fantastic.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And it's completely awesome, too.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing that's great also is that on Friday for both of those systems, we're also holding team events. So team 40K, team Age of Sigmar. And for both of those, we've already sold them out once and then we've increased seats again.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to be looking at 50 to 60 teams for each of those games.
Wow.
So you figure that times, you know, two, because it's two player teams. So it's going to be a lot of people.
That's
it's awesome. Yeah, it's completely awesome.
So cool.
So how long have you been playing?
You
all are different coming in.
You're showing my age, Rick. Okay.
Well, it's kind of close. I'm not a 40K person,
right?
Fantasy or sci-fi.
Sure.
I came into this from Dead Zone, literally.
Okay.
I didn't touch a miniature prior to Dead Zone.
All right, were you a role player?
Role playing, Magic the Gathering, and board games.
Okay.
And
cool.
Then my daughter wanted to kick my butt, so I bought Dead Zone.
Right,
but
well,
so yeah,
so
for somebody
for me, I was a big role player as a teenager growing up.
Red box.
Right. Yeah, totally red box. Yeah, I love it.
Got it when
box.
I was orange, like for three.
So one summer, I think, God, what was I? It must have been between freshman and sophomore year of high school.
Okay.
So like 1988, I came up here to Michigan to visit my family. My dad's in the Navy, so I lived in California at the time.
Sure.
And my cousin was telling me all about this awesome new game called Warhammer 40,000. I had to check it out. So as soon as I got home, I did, and I've been into it ever since. So
excellent.
I was probably 15.
Yeah.
So 32 years. And I've played every edition of the game. I haven't taken any significant amount of time off the whole time. So, So a long time. And lately I've been more focused on the Age of Sigmar side of things because that's kind of captured my interest the last few years.
Sure.
So I've been spending more time with that than 40K, but I still do play some 40K.
So how do you divide your time?
As far
because
as...
All right, so you're a player for 40K.
90% painting.
The Michigan GT is huge.
Right.
For our area.
Yes.
Obviously, it's not Adepticon yet.
No.
But
And it will never be Adepticon. We're not trying to be that. But Adepticon Light, we take.
But since I've been involved with you guys, the communication on the groups and reaching out to people, you guys pretty much start right after the GT ends.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
So how do you divide your game time with that? I mean, as TOs,
right?
Sometimes it's frustrating for us and we're just doing one day games.
Right. Okay, so with setting something like this up, the bulk of the work is getting to your number.
Okay.
Right. So
yeah.
Say for example, you know, we've been trying to have 128 in 40K the last few years.
Sure.
So, you know, that first year, ton of work to get to 32 tables worth of terrain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boom.
Yeah.
That was a ton of effort. Okay, so we got that set, boom. That took probably 2 solid months of work.
Okay.
So then next year we kinda wanna add some more players. So what do we think we can add this year? All right, I think we can double what we did last year. So let's do another 32 tables. Boom, we did it. Mm-hmm. You know, bam. So now we're at 64 tables, you know, and we've had very minor growth since then in 40K.
Yeah.
You know, and so once you hit your number, then you're only maintaining fixing broken crap, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But now, with an addition change, now we're in like this whole thing where my partner Bill, he's our main coordinator for the 40K games. Bill's like, you know, what we have is okay, but it's not really optimal for the new edition. We could really use more buildings. I'm like, okay. So I started shopping around and, one of the awesome companies that sponsored us this year, Death Ray Designs, I reached out to them. I'm like, hey guys, you know, we really need some more buildings. What can you do for us? You know, so they're like, okay, yeah, we're all very proud to sponsor you guys. We'd love to see our buildings on your table.
Sure.
And since you're going to buy in such a large bulk, we're going to cut you a deal and get you some stuff at a better price.
That's excellent.
And so, you know, because we were dropping $800 on MDF buildings, you know, they're willing to work with us.
Yeah.
Sure. And what I have found, if you're looking to get an event up and running, you know, reach out to some of these companies that are making things and just kind of tell them what you're up to. Hey, I'm up to this. You know, we're really looking for sponsors. And if, you know, you can't give us something, if you could maybe hook us up with a discount or something,
sure,
we can give you a little blurb. You know, we can work with you, give you some notice.
Yeah.
You can give us a deal, and then we can get our stuff up and off the ground at a more reasonable price.
And a lot of places you'll probably find too, like, that does go a long way. Like Death Ray Designs, like, they have some really great terrain. Like,
the problem is it's not cube.
It's not cube, but I can draw lines on it to make it good for Dead Zone, which is what Rick is talking about.
Okay.
It just needs like 3 squares. But no, like they look really cool. A lot of them are very modular, so you can assemble things. I don't know if you guys are going that route. I know they have more of a 40K centric.
We're definitely going the more 40K centric.
Bill
was looking for a very particular design.
Gotcha.
He's looking for something in like an L shape where you can easily get your hand in and out of the terrain. Something that's X inches high by X inches wide. You know, the high is
they did a huge 8th edition to 9th edition. They did a huge thing with scenery, right?
Yeah, pretty huge. Yeah. The biggest thing is like certain buildings of X height completely block line of sight no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so we really needed, because we had some buildings that were 4.5 inches tall and they need to be 5.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, that little half inch made a big difference as far as what we had on the tables.
Sure. So there's a lot of the little stuff that you guys are doing all year long. And then we honestly
should be doing it more steadily. You know, we kind of end up in a mad rush the last 2-3 months is how it always works. You know?
Sure.
But we are, I mean, I don't know. We usually finish, obviously we finish on October 10th. You know, that's the end. You know, and then realistically, we usually don't really talk much about it till the first of the year.
Sure.
You know, it's like, okay, we're going to take a couple months off, take a break.
It's good to have a breather.
Yep. Go start painting your own miniatures for a while instead of, you know, painting the stuff for the event.
Come back to the hobby, you know, re-spark your interest and go for it.
Yep. And then after the first of the year, we start talking about it. You know, what are we looking to do? You know, that kind of thing. And then, Yeah, and then as the year goes on, it just ramps up and up and up. Yeah. And, you know, it's been tough with the whole COVID thing. They kind of threw a big wrench into things.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, because, like, for the Age of Sigmar stuff, we use, you know, for our nicer tables, we use all 3D printed terrain.
Yep.
So we bought some 3D printers a few years ago. We've been printing out on those. But then, like, last year I had printed out a bunch of stuff for last year's event, had it all painted, and then we didn't have the event. Right. And then I'm like, well, do I keep printing and have stuff, more stuff for next time? But what if a bunch of people don't turn out?
Sure.
You know, what, where are we at with this? So I just kind of like stopped.
Yeah,
you know, sure. I said, okay, well, I got what I got. Let's get it all painted. And then, you know, and then we put tickets on sales and it freaking went crazy. And I'm like, I wish. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear.
Post haste.
All right. Sorry. But yeah, I just went, holy crap. You know, we got all these tickets sold, and now I got to come up with stuff to put on the tables.
Yeah, and it was nuts how fast they went.
Oh, yeah.
For the first couple days it was open. It was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, Age of Sigmar, the first 64 slots sold out in a day.
Yeah.
And then the 120, 40K slots took 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane. And I'm very proud of that, and I'm super stoked. And what I'm really hoping for, and I'm hoping that this is just a beginning of things to come.
You know?
As this gets more and more popular, and honestly, too, because we sold out in 40K last year, once you start selling out, then
you get a little bit more noticed by some other people around.
Well, not only noticed, but then there's also a higher sense of urgency to get your ticket.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, because you do have a waiting list, right?
For 40K, and anything that we sell out, we will have a waiting list. Right. But, you know, this is a little bit into the weeds here, but, you know, if you're putting on an event like this, there's a ton of costs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people are going to look at the price of this event. They're going to go, like, that's a lot of money. Well, you know what? The Lansing Center costs a lot of freaking money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's well over $10,000 to rent that venue out. It's a lot of freaking money. And so when you're putting all this stuff together, you have all these costs up front, you know, and then when you don't have the ticket revenues coming in that equal that cost, then you start getting nervous and stuff like that.
Sure.
So if you can create somehow, and by selling out events is a great way to do it, if you can create that urgency to get people to buy their tickets in that first week, then you're like, okay, our budget's good, you know, and then now the hard costs are paid for. Now we can start looking at how much we can allocate towards price support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of our big things now. You know, so if you're thinking about, as a listener here, if you're thinking about coming to our event, run out and get your ticket now if you can afford it, because now is the time here in the next few weeks is when we allocate that money for prize support. So the more people that are in each event, the more that event gets for prize support, because it has to be relatively distributed.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, if you're thinking about it, get signed up and get your prize support locked in for your event.
Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine out.
Yeah, and luckily you guys did how you have the events on the Facebook groups. Each event has a page that you can go to.
Like a best events page,
that we've linked across all of the Mantic sites.
directly to that ticket box.
Yes. Because I mean, obviously we're small, comparatively.
You're up and coming.
Well,
I like that.
It works.
Yeah,
because it was that we had decided to do a Mantic weekend here at Evo.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of remember
the year
that.
Before. And
right.
We had great success. We had 18 people for that.
I think we had 18. 18, 16 or 18, which is close to, like, for a small event.
That's an awesome
It matched Adepticon.
that's impressive.
For a number of players.
Yeah, but then it was the timing with you, and that's why I reached out to you guys
I think it was the same weekend, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the same weekend. Me and Brian talked about it. I was like, why
are we there?
Joining them.
Right.
That's where more gamers are.
Right.
And that's, like, I know that we're going to have lower numbers, and I'm okay with that. because yeah.
You gotta start somewhere.
The start of that relationship with you guys and getting as much Mantic in this area as we possibly can, because we actually have quite a few Kings of War players. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously more on the Dead Zone side of things.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the sci-fi skirmish.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm excited about being with you guys, and mm-hmm. that was why I wanted to interview you, to get the Michigan GT part of the podcast and out to the Mantic crowd that listens to us.
I love it. Completely love it. You know, and it's just, but yeah, it's just.
And for those coming out of state, the hotel is right across the street.
It really is, too.
If you get the right hotel.
If you get the right hotel.
So get your hotel soon, because as soon as that books up, you're a couple blocks down the street.
Yeah.
And still not bad, but kind of hard to stagger home drunk when you're going
just a little bit.
Crossing too many streets. You don't really want to do that. You know, but, you know, another thing that's awesome about you guys, you know, bringing your Mantic events to the GT is, yeah, it's great to have a 18-20 person event in a game store. That's cool, but it's really cool to be in that whole, you know, that whole con room, the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, you got all this excitement and everyone's just having a great time, telling war stories, and, you know, and just the camaraderie of the convention. It's just a different vibe.
And being able to see all these games that maybe you've never heard of before.
Totally true. I'm kind of a little. Bitter's not the right word, but maybe disappointed that I'm tied up running events all 3 days, because I'm seeing some of these events out there and going, I wouldn't mind knowing more about that. You know, like the Oak and Iron, you know, the pirate, like a pirate game.
Oak and Iron is
that
a
sounds
lot of fun.
Really cool.
I personally prefer the
Blood Wonder
because it is the 28
scale
stuff, and the ships are scale.
Now that sounds awesome.
It's amazing.
Oh yeah, sounds great. I have a 3D printer and files to print.
Exactly,
and yeah, it would be really neat. You know, and I'm just like, hopefully, I can sneak away for a few minutes just to kind of check it out. But it'd be nice to walk around as a fan sometime. But maybe I'll be at Adepticon next year and I can have that experience.
Right, that would be awesome. Like, but no, the event itself is so much fun, and I think there's a lot of people. Like you're saying with like ticket sales and everything, I think there's a lot of people really chomping at the bit for that gaming itch.
It's obvious, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, we're still seeing ticket sales roll in almost every single day.
Yep.
You know, and so they're coming in, you know, trickling in at this point. Sure. There's that big tidal wave.
Sure.
You know, in the first week, you know, and then you get kind of a trickle, and then the last month you get another pretty big wave coming through. That's generally how this works. And historically, you have like a third of your sales immediately, then a third of your sales over the next 2 months, and then the last month, another third.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of how people work, right?
Yeah.
But
it's the event is on my mind, it's on my calendar. Oh, I haven't registered for
that. Crap, I better get those tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sold out. Oh. I should have done that earlier then.
But, well, for all the 40K players, I mean, they could come play Dead Zone.
They could come play Dead Zone.
Absolutely.
If the Warhammer 40K events are sold out, you know, it's terrible that that's happened to you, but hey, Dead Zone is there for you.
Right. So let's talk about Dead Zone for a second.
Sure.
You guys are running the event. Where are you guys at for, like, your terrain making and stuff like that?
Oh, I've got, 16 tables worth?
Okay.
That's
good.
So,
we've accumulated.
That's great.
So Dead Zone is 2x2.
Oh, so much smaller.
It's a 2x2 cube system.
Okay.
So it's completely up, down, over, left, right. It's all of the above. But all the scenery is based in cubes.
Okay.
And, of course, we have a ton of Mantic scenery, but I also have the 3D printer, and we have a ton of scenery that's specific to it. And
have you found some files that are like made specifically for Dead Zone?
Yeah, actually, there was a Kickstarter.
Oh,
that
cool.
We did that. His scenery was not Dead Zone, but Dead Zone.
Okay.
And it's nearly perfect for it.
Yeah.
Like Bread Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But scenery wise, map wise, we're all set.
Okay.
But we also have ran tournaments and stuff for the last few years.
Sure.
And ran the DeathCon tournaments.
Okay.
So we have collected and collected. So yeah, we're set from a scenery point of view.
Mm-hmm. But we're always making more. That's
aren't
the
thing. We all, yeah, we all, right? You can always have better.
It's better. You know? Like now, I just got an FDM printer myself, nice. And so that's one of the things. Like I'm going through and building. I made a big long spaceship thing.
Yep,
very cool.
That I got off of Thingiverse, and it's just like, this is where it's fun.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope going into the 3Ds, because he's now got an FDM, I have an FDM, and I have a resin.
Yeah, I have.
And it just kind of goes.
Right.
Just got our first electric bill. My wife is not too angry with me.
Oh, they're not too bad.
Yeah.
They're not too bad.
We were really worried because it was running kind of.
Oh, yeah.
They will.
Which resin printer do you have?
I have a Mars.
Okay.
I have the original Mars. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yep. And we both have Vox Lab
Aquilia.
Okay.
Which is the 3D, I mean, the Ender 3.
Ender 3
Pro 2?
Yes.
Clone.
Oh, very cool.
And it's literally a clone.
Okay.
Like, we can pretty much use everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Drivers. Yeah. Oh, really? That's very cool.
Oh, yeah. And cheaper.
Okay. Yeah. That's, well, we kind of went for the non-cheap.
Well, sure. But you guys were doing it at a much larger scale.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, we got four of the Prusa MK3Ss.
Oh, okay.
So we got four of those, and then I personally picked up a the Anycubic Mono X.
Yep.
The big boy.
Yeah.
So I was playing with another Anycubic. I'm like, this is neat and all, but it was a friend of mine. He loaned it to me. I'm like, but this build plate's really tiny. And I'm like, I think I'll just pony up for the big build plate.
That was kind of the big thing for me because I was starting with the FDM and went to the resin because I bought it off of a buddy because he upgraded.
Okay.
And I got at home and I'm looking at my build plate going, why don't I just print an FDM? This thing's tiny.
Yeah, so the quality, right?
Quality is out the roof.
Right. Yeah. Those resin printers are very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Dead Zone, we're all set up. Dreadball is easy for us.
Okay. Is that just on a mat?
It's just a little like net, cardboard pitch. Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's just basically there's a handful of tokens that need to be on the board that got put together, but people bring their own teams.
Right.
In this case, we're doing an event called League in the Night, so it's league play.
Right.
So they're going to be leveling up their players and everything like that. They got a team that's they're going to take through an entire season.
In one night. So how long is a standard game of Dreadball?
So, depends on who you're playing with.
Okay.
For us, it takes a couple hours.
Okay.
One game for the two of us, if anything, takes a couple hours.
But it is typically like a 45 minute, maybe an hour tops.
All right. So in a tournament setting, you can set an hour, dice down an hour, or whatever.
And even like League, which has a little bit more paperwork to it, like it's just maybe another 15.
Okay.
In between, just a little cushion.
So you can even do like an hour and a half blocks.
Yep.
You
know,
game.
Break.
Game paperwork. Records break start. Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
And it's been a really successful event in like Adepticon and some of the other ones.
Origins.
A couple of our friends kind of came up with the idea. They're Jeff Burbage, who's a friend from Canada, and mm-hmm. And the rest of the Bread Doll team, which is a little WordPress website that they run and talk all about Dreadball all the time. Really good guys, and so that's another one of the sci-fi events we're going to be putting on.
Yeah, great.
So we're
hopefully we can get those Canadians down to our event, huh?
You know, we're trying.
Trudeau, open the border. We need Canadians at the Michigan GT.
Yeah, because we had that meeting, and there's quite a few people up in Canada
right.
that really come down for this and want to be involved in this badly.
In all of our, all across all our games.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Canadians do come. You know, we're not a long drive from Toronto.
No.
You know,
we're really not.
4 or 5 hours, you know, that's not too bad when it comes to, you know, a big event like this. And hopefully we can get that. It's probably not looking that way, but it'd be nice if it happened.
Yeah.
So that could be some last-minute tickets.
If
things clear up, you know, towards the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So fingers crossed for that.
Right. And so you guys aren't running Kings of War.
So, no. He's playing.
I'm going to be playing.
Ryan's playing. Awesome.
So a couple other buddies.
Well, why are you playing, Rick?
Me?
Yeah.
Because I'm actually at work.
His job is...
Just take the day off on sick.
Yeah.
As the boss.
As the boss, I can't really do that.
But you can.
I can't because one of my employees is playing.
Oh.
We here at Dead Zone Podcast do not endorse lying to us.
But no, a couple other Pathfinders, Blake and Mike Carter. Blake, of course, is local. He's from Mount Pleasant. He's been a part of Mantic forever. He's known Ronnie since
the GW days. Okay.
And he does this huge Kings of War event at Adepticon. And or
come
not
on, big battle.
Yeah, and it's like 160,000 points.
Oh my god.
It's 2 8-foot tables together.
Okay.
It's huge.
You know, I think I saw that last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And usually he brings in like 4 or 5 players per side
right.
to show people this, but right. it's one game over the course of Adepticon.
Okay.
It's cool. And he does all of the scenery. He does all of that.
Right. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And all the minis. And they're like, there used to be a minimum model count as far as like how many models you need on your little tray.
Okay.
And he had them full.
yeah. But Blake and then Mike Carter's coming up.
He runs a lot of Ohio.
Okay.
Stuff Origins.
Ohio Kings.
Ohio Kings.
Yeah.
Is there ever.
So those two are both running the Kings of War event, which allows us to do our Dead Zone
right.
and Dreadball.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think they're pretty good and set on everything too. I just finished the last of the trees for Blake.
Oh, cool.
For his tables.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, we're ready to go.
Awesome. I wish I could say the same thing.
If a lot of those Warhammer 40K players happen to overflow,
yeah.
We might have to scramble.
Scramble.
Bit, but, you know, you're welcome to. We don't mind.
All right.
So that was a question about the GT.
Sure.
Those random people that come in that
right.
are just, are they able to play in the tournaments?
You're allowed to walk up and play. I mean, you got to pay for your event.
Okay.
You can't play for free.
Well, obviously you
right.
can't play for me,
right.
but you guys have got it set up where...
If you show up the day of the event and you want to enter something and there's open space, yeah, you can pay at the gate. We do have a percentage of people who do that.
Okay. Because the reason why I asked that is because Brian and I will have both Dreadball teams and
some,
Dead Zone teams.
Some loner armies
ready
kind of thing.
To go to play if people show up.
Yeah. yeah.
Or 40K players want to come check it out.
Right. Absolutely possible. Yeah.
Cool.
That's absolutely. And we'll also have a number of free demo games
yeah.
running through the event
yeah.
as well. I know one of the game stores, Games for Life, they're down in the greater Detroit area.
Okay.
He's the owner of the store, John. He's going to be bringing himself and staff. Up
oh,
to
wow.
the event.
Oh.
And he's going to have his staff running like Star Wars demos and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
That's you know, awesome.
Over on Friday and Saturday, I think. So, yeah, if people want to come up and try out some Legion or Armada, X-Wing. Yeah, they have, I think, all three of those games they have scheduled demos for.
That's also a really cool part of these kind of big events where it is. Like, there's the planned scheduled demo, so if
right.
you wanted to try something out, maybe in between a game that you're already playing, it's like, man, I really want to try Wild West Exodus.
Right.
Or Free Blades, or
it's
whatever.
It's Sunday,
I guess. But yeah, being able to really kind of try out, especially with some of these war games, some of them are a little bit more pricier, so it is nice to have the opportunity to try before you.
You gotta get a little hands on, right? Yeah,
yeah,
that
yeah.
is,
and then there's the vendors right there that are like, oh,
right,
man.
Right. You know, and honestly, I wish we could have even more of that kind of stuff.
Sure,
but it's just bodies, right?
Oh yeah,
you gotta have bodies to run all that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, we're scrambling hard to find rules judges for 40K. It's like we keep asking all you, I'd rather play.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, if you want to play, we're not going to stop you from playing, but yeah, I mean, we need like 5 or 6 judges, and I think we got like 3.
Oh, wow.
Right. We'll find them.
Sure.
But it's just.
So if you would like to judge.
Right. Yeah, reach out.
Yeah.
40k@michigangt.com. That email just will get you where you need to go.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are.
Dead Zone 2.0. This is stupid.
I'm not going to lie, Brian. I did start playing 42.
I was going to say, how dare you? But then I'm also like, all right. Like, games are games. It can be fun to try.
But I don't know it nearly enough to be a judge.
And the models are sweet.
Yeah.
You got to admit.
Yes. I have the new sisters.
Yeah, the it's tough to touch Games Workshop as far as model quality is concerned.
But
you pay for that quality.
Yeah, you definitely pay for that quality. But like miniature wise, though, like all of these companies, yeah, like everybody is really stepping up.
That's true.
Like it's kind of scary.
Like Mantic as well. Like the quality of their minis, they just started doing in house resin.
Okay.
For a lot of the fantasy stuff has been getting it lately, but they're slowly getting to some of our sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
And like
was it pewter before?
Some pewter, mostly is it hard plastic.
It's hard plastic.
Oh, hard plastic.
Yeah.
And Restic? I don't know plastics that well.
Okay.
Restic became what it was called, but Restic is not actually a thing.
Okay, I made that up.
Don't no, you didn't.
You should have just ran with it, Brian, because I didn't know any better.
Yeah. Actually, that. First edition Warpath, I think, is
okay.
When that Restic thing started getting called, because it was kind of a soft plastic.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't your typical soft plastic.
Okay.
So it was somewhere in between,
right.
Which they're, as a company, Mantic's gotten away from.
Okay.
Yeah. So they've gone more to the hard plastics and now right. Resin.
And I know, like, with, like, GW stuff, like, their miniature plastic and their terrain plastic... It's two totally
different.
Two totally different plastics.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure it's a cost of effectiveness type thing. You know, and I don't know anything about
it. Well, they're all trying to make money.
Right.
Yeah.
and they're making money.
Yeah. They are. But yeah, no, it's been really cool to see, like, the hobby itself as well, just kind of the elevation to, you know, like 40K, for instance, is very much in the forefront of pop culture.
In a lot of ways.
And
even more so, right?
Yeah,
It really seems to be popping up. I mean, Henry Cavill is a 40K player. Haven't you guys heard?
Right?
Yeah, he missed it. He almost missed a... No, no, that was for World War.
It was World Warcraft. Yeah, he almost missed an audition. Yeah,
almost missed the audition for Superman, I think.
I think it was, yeah.
But
there's a lot of gamers.
And I think that also lends itself well to... You know, that foot traffic that you're talking about, people that just go like, I just want to take a look at it.
And let's be honest, we're in like a renaissance of nerd culture, right?
Yeah.
You know, nerd culture is all of a sudden
cool.
You know, as you see, every second, every other movie's a Marvel movie now, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so in the 80s, no one barely ever would go to see something that came out of a comic book.
Correct.
Right. I mean, unless you had Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton starring in it, right?
The theater for things like Legend and Willow.
Right.
Not as full as if that movie had come out.
Oh, absolutely.
It would have been sold out.
And Willow was an awesome movie, even.
Oh, so good.
It was so good. Where are the sequels?
But yeah, that whole has changed for our dynamic.
Absolutely.
And it's funny because back in the 80s and 90s, we didn't have as much of this either.
Right.
We didn't have that connective
as much. Piece. We talked about as much. Like, it didn't exist.
We had phones.
We didn't like record.
I mean, we had to meet up in the back corner of the school library to avoid the bullies, man. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
Just you didn't like share cassette tapes of, hey, they just recorded a new episode here. You can
right. Yeah. Right.
Good old distribution.
Underground cassette interview, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I recorded over a duck.
Exactly. But, yeah, so, you know, the nerd culture popularity makes this stuff way easier. You know, like, I've been at my job for, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
And I've obviously been a wargamer the whole time. You know, and when I first got there, everyone's like, well, what are you into? What is this? You know? And then now I'm, like, one of the old guys at work, you know?
Yeah.
And all these young guys who are come in, oh, yeah. I play Magic the Gathering, and I play this, I
you
play
heard
that.
About this Warhammer
thing? Oh, yeah, I know about that. I haven't played it yet, but I know about it, you know, yeah. And they're all like, cool, man, that's awesome. You know, so it's a completely different outlook on these kind of things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was the big thing for me was when my nephew bought his own copy of Dead Zone.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And he's 14. Nice. Him and my son have played. My son's 11. I mean, my kids have been playing Dead Zone since 9. Right. But my nephew's like, I want to buy that. Okay. I'll help you out.
Yeah.
And you just happened to find a copy of the
I
game.
I did. At your wedding.
At my wedding.
But that new generation of gamers coming up,
yeah.
it's an open door for them.
Right.
And to be open at the Michigan GT where you don't have to pay to come in means that those of us old guys that have those kids,
right.
the kids can come
you can
and
expose
see
them.
Everything.
Yeah, you can expose them.
To more than just dad's collection in the
right.
basement. It's like,
right.
this is actually what I do.
Right, yeah, and it's not dad's weird hobby, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, now it's, oh, well, all these people do this. You know, this is pretty cool. And, you know, and the other awesome thing about miniature wargaming, to me, is the tactile portion to it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, you know, if you have a younger generation getting into this, that's that many hours they're not in front of a screen.
Yes.
Which is a huge problem with kids right now. You know, they just spend too much time on their electronics. You know, and if you can just get them to sit down for an hour a night and put models together or paint their models or whatever, that's just the mental health benefits of that.
Not to mention
huge.
The social piece.
Well, that's
like when you go into playing the games where everything's online, so it doesn't matter what you say.
Good point.
But now, when you get them into this group, you're actually in a setting where it's multiple different people from all kinds of backgrounds.
Yes.
So you're learning a different way to communicate that, sure, they teach it in school, but not to the extent that we use it.
Right.
In a completely different environment that's safe.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, and not to mention, you know, like say Kings of War, you know, was that a couple hours around? 2-3 hours for a game?
It's an hour and 45.
It's a couple hours.
Yeah, it's a couple hours.
Right. And so when you're getting into games that have that amount of time that it takes to play, there's like a social contract there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing a game of Magic, you're 15 minutes and you're done.
Yeah,
right?
Done.
If you're going to be a jerk, you know, if the guy's a jerk, he's a jerk. In 15 minutes, you're out of it. Right.
Correct.
But if the guy across from you is a jerk for 2 hours, you know, there's a social contract that comes with playing a game of that kind of length.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you got to learn how to be a good sport, mm-hmm. and you got to learn how to have a social etiquette, you know, across the table from someone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or you're going to get drummed out in a hurry.
Yeah. But like in that respect too, it's been a great way to make friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean that's how I met Rick was
right.
His first demo of Dead Zone, public demo of Dead Zone as a Pathfinder was where I ran into him.
Okay.
And
did he show it to you?
He showed me how to play the game.
Okay. So that was your first introduction.
That was my intro.
Was from Rick.
After years of like I played 40K when I was in high school with a handful of friends. And then throughout college, I couldn't find anybody.
And they disperse.
Then we all went to
the... Yeah, the model's like, you get your player from like 13 to 17, 18. And then that player finds girls and beer. You know, and so from 18 to 26, 27, they're gone.
The budget changes a little bit.
Well, yeah, for sure. and they're not going to show their girl their nerdy hobby, right? Because that's not cool. So
it wasn't cool.
Still not totally cool.
No.
With the girls. And I guess you find a special girl, I guess, who could be into it, but let's be real.
It's becoming more accepted.
More.
Yes.
But you're still going to have that closet of shame that you're not going to show her until at least like the 8th date. You know, she doesn't get to see that closet for a while.
Very true.
And then they hit 28, 29, and they settle down. You know, their girlfriend becomes a living girlfriend, or they get married. And then they can't go out drinking with their buddies all the time because they got this, so let's find something else to do with their time, and they come back to the hobby. That's generally the ebb and flow of the gamer.
Sure.
Yes. For the most part.
For the most part. Yeah, there's always exceptions.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And like we're saying, like the change in the landscape is such where that dynamic is really going to continue to evolve, and I think in a really good way. I think it's going to be...
It's definitely trending in the right direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that stigma that we're seeing around some gamers, like in specific games that were kind of that negative space, I do think with the amount of more positive people entering those communities, really...
It is definitely changing.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And not only that, and we'll be a little bit politically incorrect here, but, you know, the traditional Gamer was that guy that wasn't social.
Yep.
Hid in the basement. Probably should have taken a couple more showers than he took, and probably you know, could have maybe you know had a little bit better you know, personal hygiene. You know, and that's very much changing. You know, as it's becoming more and more mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, it's becoming you know normal for someone to quote unquote normal.
Yeah.
You know, for someone to be you know into sci-fi and fantasy games.
Yep, 100%. And go to conventions.
Yeah. And all that is for the better.
Absolutely, yes. It is. Yeah, completely agree.
Especially for the Michigan GT, which if you haven't gotten your tickets yet.
Get your tickets, www.michigangt.com.
And of course, we'll also have a link on the podcast.
Oh, heck yeah. Follow that link.
So do you have anything else for the Dead Zone / Dreadball / Warpath universe? I mean, we kind of go with the Kings of War guys, but we're sucking.
Yeah, tell me about the Dead Zone universe, because I don't know crap about it.
Okay.
So the short elevator pitch version is that in the distant future,
the far future,
the far future of
is there only war or is there more than just only war?
There's only corporations running the universe.
Okay.
Yep.
And so Earth has colonized and everything like that into multiple spheres, like out into the galaxy.
Okay.
Ran into a bunch of alien races, subjugated them, as you will. And
As any good corporation would do.
As any corporation does. And,
made really shady deals with forefathers.
A lot of different deals and underneath this. And so a lot of it is corporate warfare, territory struggles. You got different alien species that are very old, and so they come like, well, my claim was here 150 years ago, and I'm going to take that back.
Asterix.
And then we also have this kind of what they call the plague, which is a kind of this virus-based entity that is kind of an ancient one as well, like an ancient weapon.
That's the Asterix fault.
That has been spreading throughout the universe, and so there's a lot of big pushback against that.
Okay.
But it's a lot of... it's a space that a lot of different science fiction stories can all take place in. It's
ever like
growing.
It.
It's very fresh and new and building and evolving.
All right.
So it's a really cool space to be in.
Have they evolved into having like novels based on this universe and that kind of thing?
So Winged Hussar has published their first. Did they do First Strike? I can't remember who published First Strike.
Forget who did First Strike.
So they have First Strike, which is essentially a Dead Zone novel.
Okay.
And then they just released The Last Hurrah, which is a Dreadball novel.
Okay.
Because the thing about universe...
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
So the reason why like the sci-fi, the game that we play is called Dead Zone.
Uh-huh.
When these corporations take over a planet, and there's something that happens on that planet, said like breakout or something.
That they don't want to.
The Council of Seven, who rules the inner spheres, shuts down the planet to the point where they take it off of the star maps.
Okay.
They shut everything down, and it literally becomes a dead zone because there's no in and there's no out.
Okay.
And they will occasionally send in their enforcers to clean everything up, but that little block is called the dead zone.
And that's the game. So you're the group of enforcers going in to clear out.
It's small, anywhere from 6 to, well, I mean, if you're playing the Plague, it could be up to 20, but models.
All right, so like a Necromunda scale sounds like.
Necromunda kill team.
Okay.
But it's based on cubes, so you don't use tape measures.
Okay.
So your movement is cube-based.
Sure. So if you have a movement of 8, you can move 8 cubes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's opposing dice rolls.
Okay. So if you beat your opponent, then you succeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right.
But then you switch gears. So in this same universe that has these, you have these corporations that are obviously trying to make money.
Right.
How do you make money? You create a sports game that everybody can watch.
Right.
And then you have
your Dreadballs, your FIFA World Cup kind of thing.
Okay. Exactly.
With all these alien races playing
All right.
And that's what we love about the Warpath universe, because it's connected between the multiple different games.
Okay.
The same way with the Kings of War universe.
Sure.
It goes from the simple introduction board game, like with us, Star Saga, which is a dungeon crawl, but you play mercenaries. Those same mercenaries and dungeon crawl minis are used in Dead Zone as a faction called Maison Labs.
Oh, okay.
Maison Labs has GCPS in it, which are used in Firefight, which would be closer to 40K
okay.
as far as model count and size.
Okay.
But it's the same models.
Right.
Going through the multiple
right. games. Yeah, it makes sense.
And they're doing the same thing with the new models coming out for both the games. They're all interchangeable.
So you got like your skirmish, you know, yeah. and it's like a couple levels
yep.
growing yeah. up there. So as you grow your collection, you can get into yes. the bigger level game. Yeah, that's good money. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, and that's so that in a short rundown, that's pretty much what our Dead Zone okay. Dreadball Warpath universe is.
No, that sounds like a pretty cool story arc, I guess. Is
yeah.
Hey, it is, because it's also open.
Meaning that you can use whatever miniatures you want? Is that what that means?
Well,
what
no, the lore.
Well, the lore is
open. It's open to the okay. point that there's some Facebook groups that are actually doing writing competitions.
Oh, okay. To advance
that story actually arcs and, go into the lore and oh. help create the lore for
oh,
the
that's interesting.
Because it's okay. very young.
Right. Right. And yeah, that's with anything that's any game that's trying to break into the sci-fi
yeah.
genre, it's very hard to compete with the lore that is Warhammer 40,000.
Well, and that's and sometimes that's the biggest thing when you have a player that plays 40K and they're like, yeah, but I've got all of this lore, and I'm like, yeah, but I've only been around for a little bit.
Right.
Give me a shot.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
And the they do have a number of like collections of sort like anthologies of short stories
okay.
and things like that as well.
Yep.
Some of them are like on the web and
right.
some are they do have a hard
digital
copy.
Downloads too.
Yeah. And those like I've been reading through all of them and they're all like very engaging and you know, take one kind of snippet of this universe and really kind of play with it and figure out how it all kind of fits in together. So
now, does Manic have like their own magazines or anything like that?
Not yet.
Kind of publications? Okay.
Not yet.
Because I, you know, as a kid, for me, you know, teenager,
sure.
the Game Workshop the magazine,
Dwarf.
White Dwarf.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I still have a bunch.
Me too. I mean, I would just pore over that. I was a huge like, when's it coming out? When's it coming out? You know. And then you read that, and I'm reading every single line of the battle report and looking
yeah.
at the maps and tracing out what Jervis Johnson and Andy Chambers were trying to do to each other. You know, and I'm like, oh, Jervis is going to get him this time. And then, nope, didn't happen.
Nice turn.
Right, right. But yeah, and then there's also always backstory articles in there.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you learn all about the history of the Eldar or the Orcs or whatever,
yep.
you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was always a great source of history and backstory in a monthly,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, the
monthly
closest
tidbit, right? You know, you're
yeah,
just
yeah.
getting a small dose at a time.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, John Jack here from Dreadball Commercials. You've seen me, you love me, you know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial, or I'm coming for you.
The closest that Mantic has right now is their Suffolk books that they put out.
Okay.
For like Kings of War, it's Clash of Kings.
Okay.
Which is, it not only does it have updated rules, but it also has story arc in it.
I wonder if George Martin has a problem with the use of that word, Clash of Kings.
But yeah, it's got some of that new history going to the game because
okay.
of the writing,
right.
Because of the competitions.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it really is evolving.
It's a great concept to kind of outsource the creativity part,
yeah.
of it, right? You know, because you know, it's hard to have staff writers who are working on rules and this, you know, and it costs a lot of money to have those guys.
Well, yeah,
on
and
Mantic
only has a staff of, I think, 11.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
my point exactly,
yeah.
right? You know,
yeah.
so this is a way for them to collect that creativity, you know,
and keep
then,
moving forward.
And keep, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
But no, it's a really neat space to be in and to see it
right.
Evolve and change. One of the other things they've done and recently has been they've done some global events,
mm-hmm.
and based on the results, it's like, oh,
right.
there was this one that it was all taking over a planet. And so it was, okay, we're going to collect all the results from
mm-hmm.
all the players.
Those are always cool.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, Plague won the day, so they control that planet, and that now influences the story moving forward.
Great.
On the
That's
grand
cool.
scale.
That's very cool. Yeah. And it's a great way to have your customer base feel included, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they have, actually, they have one going on right now for Kings of War.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I saw an advertisement for that on Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. It's a month-long campaign for Kings of War. And in one weekend, I think it's the 24th, 25th, something. It's that, one of the last weekends.
Yeah. About this one?
Any games that are played that day will be going into the system to see who actually wins.
Super cool.
Whether it's the good guys, the bad guys, the neutral, the goblins.
So if one were to get into Kings of War, say, what would be the layout of investment to get like a full-size standard tournament army?
Sure. I wouldn't know exactly what the cost is.
About $175.
$175.
Really?
The game itself is a lot of movement trays.
Yeah.
As like your main unit, and so you can populate those trays then with
minimum model count too.
So you got a tray that can fit 40 guys on it.
Right.
You can get like 20 or 21 gets you.
Did you play Fantasy Battles?
Yes. Not a ton, but I did.
But you played Fantasy Battles. Yeah. So the big difference is the models don't come off the base in Kings of War.
Oh. You just kind of like have a hit point tally?
It has a hit point tally, and then you have nerve tests at the end.
All right.
So you don't kind of, remove...
You just keep track of how many wounds that tray has left.
Yeah. And, because,
and so you don't actually have to have a full tray to play the game?
Correct. There's actually a rule called minimum model count.
Okay.
Which is slightly changed with 3rd edition.
Right.
So it's gone up a little bit. Sure. But you can take a starter armory box, which is 75 to 125 for a starter.
Mm-hmm.
What that gives you is specifically 20 models for a regiment.
Okay.
Well, in a regiment, you really only need 14 models.
All right. So if you wanted to have all your trees full, you're probably looking at 2 to 3 times that number.
Yeah.
Ish.
Maybe. Depending on what you're taking.
Ish.
Okay. I really think if you wanted to get into 2,000 points of King's War, it would cost you $200.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that's very reasonable for a tabletop.
Mm-hmm. And with Kings of War, unless you're going for that very specific tournament trophy,
right?
You can play any of those old Games Workshop fantasy models you have.
You can play the
ones that we found that we printed. In fact, in our last Kings of War tournament, I actually played an entire 3D printed army.
And is that Mantic sanctioned?
Yep.
So they're fine with that.
Yeah. So they do have a specific award
for pure Mantic.
For pure Mantic.
Okay. That's a cool way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have a championship spot that you cannot win unless you have 100% Mantic.
Okay.
Because just before the pandemic,
right,
it was set up that the champion in the UK did fly to the last Adeptcon. Play against us.
Okay.
And that winner, I believe on the next one, since we missed the 2 years,
yep.
They are flying to the UK.
Oh, cool.
But that player, 100% Mantic Army.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, you know, and like in the GT for 40K, Age of Sigmar, for example, we don't require pure Games Workshop models. If you're going to use something that's like a proxy or something like that or 3D printed, you know, just be upfront and say, hey, this is what I'm bringing. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Just clear it with your organizer, and we're good to go. It's, you know, I know like the official Games Workshop events, they're going to want to be 100%.
Sure.
But as an independent event, we don't really.
We pretty much can do what we want.
Right, we can do what we want. Exactly true. You know, and what we want is to have people having a good time playing games. Yeah. You know, we don't make a buck whether you buy it from Games Workshop or not. Yeah, it doesn't affect us either way. So, unless Games Workshop wants to come and sponsor us for thousands of dollars to say you got to limit this, we're not going to limit it. You know.
And Mantic Games, like at least from when we run the events as well, like even in Dead Zone and stuff, we are also very proxy friendly. We know people are probably coming from.
Oh yeah, I've taught people that brought Space Marines.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've taught people that brought Tyranids. And
usually it's like as long as you get close to the size,
doesn't really matter. Also, another big thing let's talk about the GT is that we work, except for some very minor exceptions, we require painted models.
Yep.
Mm.
So that's a big thing, you know. And one of the reasons that we do require that as an overall event is because it increases the experience of the game to play against someone else who's painted.
Yeah,
you know, you're paying a lot of money to come to this event. and you want to be across from someone else, you know, who's putting the effort in to make it the coolest experience
it's
possible.
It's part of the whole
hobby,
thing.
Right? Yeah. It really is. You know, we're making a 1 year exception this year for Conquest because Conquest just came out, so they're worried that their player base doesn't have the time to get it painted. And okay, we'll give them a year.
Sure.
You know, and then so if you're a Conquest player, you don't have to be painted this year, but start working because next year you're going to have to be painted.
So if they're half done right now, it's all
right. That's okay. Right. Which that game looks really cool too, by the way.
Yes.
The scale of that is very attractive to me because I think that's like a 35, 40 millimeter.
It's somewhere in between.
Yes. It's like bigger than what we used to, but not huge.
It kind of reminds me of Wild West Exodus with their bases. Because nobody has the same size bases as Wild West Exodus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, their bases they don't match.
They're like big distance.
Oh, never noticed.
Yeah. So they're bigger than our Dead Zone Mantic ones.
Right.
But they're smaller than some of the other ones. It's like, because I went to print some and I'm like, there's none. Just I had to take a picture and kind of figure out how to size it just to get that base.
Get your tape measure out.
Right. Yep.
27.5 millimeters. Okay, I can scale that.
Yeah.
Right. It's awesome having that PLA to print bases. I print so many bases with my PLA.
Yeah.
It's like I no longer have to pay any company that creates bases because I can just make my own.
Yes.
It's pretty awesome.
I don't have anything else, and we are at about that hour.
Great. Well, this has been a blast, guys. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Our interviews are always, we've always found them to just be really fun conversations.
Just have a conversation.
It's kind of, it's kind of how we've done the podcast for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
We're very professional.
So how often are you guys releasing?
Once a month. Sometimes we'll do twice.
Special occasions kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah, because we're coming up on year two.
Yep.
On doing the podcast.
Very cool.
And so we've got to figure out what we're gonna do for the 2 year finale there, as it were.
All things considered, we'll be at the Michigan GT.
Yeah.
Because our 2 year is in September.
Oh, yeah. Right there. You can just delay it a couple weeks, right? And then you're there. It's a great opportunity. You get a bunch of interviews too.
Yep.
Season 3 intro.
There
we go. Intro?
Sneak preview.
So, it's funny. So, for almost 2 years of doing this podcast, we have yet to have an actual normal open or a close.
Okay.
Or a close.
We just kind of go, okay, we're done. And then we keep talking.
All right.
That would
have been the perfect spot to end the podcast when he just said, we're done. And then just cut.
But you think that's where it's going to cut.
But he does all that text.
Okay.
But yeah, no, this has been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast to talk about Michigan GT.
Thanks for having me. And if you ever want me to bother to come on your show again, I'd be totally willing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're super excited for this event. Like I said earlier, I know a lot of people are chomping at the bit to get that gaming fix in.
Yep.
And we are not exceptions to that rule.
Neither am I. And I don't even get to play. I just get to run around with my head cut off.
Well, maybe we'll have to set up a demo for Dead Zone. And then
I might have to
record you and see how you
see how it goes. Okay. Yeah. I'd be game.
See, and that's why we can't have hard opens and hard closes, because we end up coming up with different games every single time.
Every single time. Well, cool. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really excited for the GT.
Yeah, should be cool.